Are you seeking more energy, inspiration, wisdom? If so, you're not alone. Each episode is a glimpse into the live discussions we're creating at TogetherWeSeek.online. I'm JJ DiGeronimo, a lightworker and curious soul, interviewing some amazing practitioners and lightworkers to explore inspiration and ancient wisdom with the goal of illuminating our knowing, brightening our path, and further manifesting our work. Thank you so much for joining today. I'm always so excited about each and every conversation, and this is no different. Jazzy Jackson is here with us today to really talk about how she straddles her corporate life and her spiritual journey. She offers amazing wisdom, and I really am looking forward to diving in with her on so many different topics. So thank you, Jazzy, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited for our conversation today.
So I love that you're still in corporate, because many of the practitioners that I work with have jumped out at some point and are doing it full time. So tell me, how is that working for you? And how do you incorporate your skills, your offerings, and your corporate life?
Yeah, you know, at the beginning, it was really hard because I knew that I needed more of a balance. I wanted to provide my services and be more a part of my community. But I was so ingrained in my 9-to-5, where I was doing 15-hour days, you know, working 6 days a week. And to really get out of that loop, I had to change myself. I had to get rid of my to-do list and really set boundaries around what I was available for in my 9-to-5, what I was getting paid for, and where I was going above and beyond. And then also create space for the work that I'm doing in my community when it comes to Reiki and the shamanic practices.
I just want to sit with that for a minute, because I think boundaries are so difficult. So the fact that you didn't just jump ship and be like, hey, I just have to work in this energy right now, I'm not going to do dual lives, is pretty impressive, and something that I also did when I was working through this. But can we dive in a little bit to what you even mean by boundaries? Because so many people talk about boundaries, but like, what does that really mean?
Yeah. So boundaries has a lot of different definitions, in my opinion. The first one that comes to mind when I was looking for that definition, because a while ago, about 5 years ago, it was this mainstream thing where I was like, yeah, I definitely need boundaries, but what does that mean? What does that look like? And when I searched out for that, I was just getting a very plain answer on communicating what my needs were, but that wasn't it. I felt like I was going to be really confrontational. It felt really scary to voice what I needed. And so as I dove into that work, what it really means is taking the space to take care of yourself. Becoming so good at understanding who you are and differentiating between what you've learned, what your core beliefs are based on other people's point of view, and who you truly are on the inside. And of course, that takes work, that takes shadow work, and it takes time for us to perfect and really understand what that means.
It does. It does. And so when you say like, learn who you really are, I get that question a lot. I'm curious how you really think about that.
Yeah, that one was hard for me as well. Like, what do you mean? I know exactly who I am. But when you start to unravel the stories, what you're thinking about all the time, like, oh, I can't do that. Oh, that's really embarrassing. Oh, I can't post 10 times a day, that I'm going to be a narcissist. Like, those are all like listening to the stories that you're telling yourself on a day-to-day basis. What are your actual thoughts? Maybe writing them down and looking at, oh, does my inner self actually believe that? Where did that come from? And then I started to get memories of like, oh, this happened when I was 5 years old, you know, and that's why I dim my light. Or, oh, this is something my mom used to always say. And then kind of investigate and have those conversations with yourself in terms of like, do I actually believe these things that I'm constantly telling myself?
Well, it's interesting because what you're saying is similar to the work that I've had to go through. And I didn't really know how to do it. I was sort of guided to go into mindfulness, which then, you know, I went kicking and screaming. I thought it was so ridiculous, mindfulness. And now it's like the cornerstone of how I live my life. But mindfulness gave me the space to even recognize my thoughts. So when you have a wonderful podcast called Beyond Meditation, is that kind of what you mean? Is taking the concept of understanding your thoughts and then digging through it? Can you tell us a little bit about kind of how that fits in?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of different modalities that you can go through, mindfulness being one of them, right? And that's really what you're doing when you're going through your core beliefs. And honestly, when I first started, I didn't even know where to start. Like, how am I supposed to extract these things out of me? And really, it's just a day-by-day type of situation. Like, what are the memories that are coming up? What are the stories, like I said, writing them down, like when you're thinking about things, because we're doing it 24/7, right? And kind of talking ourselves through our decisions, through our day-to-day, like really taking note of what it is that you're saying to yourself and then investigating within yourself, like, where did that come from? Where did I hear this? How did I even start believing that? So that's one way, core beliefs. The other way is the way that I started was Reiki. I had this hard core wiring that in order for me to be successful, I needed to work and not take vacations, work 15-hour days. And it was really out of alignment with who I was. But I had this core belief that in order to be successful, I needed to kind of work myself to the bone. And Reiki really allowed me to kind of stand still in a way and start investigating within myself. I went from looking outward and looking for the answers and happiness on the external to really looking within, right? And some of that came through as Reiki, meditation. You know, I started going to women's circles and kind of hearing some of the same stories and really realizing that whatever loop I was in was not part of who I was authentically.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I love the idea that you can get in different ways, because I feel like for many of us, we not only live by every single thought that comes through our head, but we're living by that to-do list you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And so you're going through this process of going through Reiki, you're starting to hear the stories that are on repeat in your head. How do you actually let go of that? Because when it's deeply ingrained since fifth grade or 5 years old or, you know, first year of college, how do you let go of those predetermined stories that are guiding so many of your actions?
Yeah, a lot of it is mindfulness practice, but also I like to think of it as an experiment. One of the first things that I did was I really devoted myself to surrendering. So I threw away the to-do list. Obviously, I still have a calendar. So if I have a meeting like this, I'm still showing up. However, like the minute things of like, oh, I have to do, I don't know, laundry, and I have to, like, ever growing to-do list, right? I have to post, I have to edit and all these things. Like, I actually don't have to do that. And so I allow for space and time to kind of do what my soul is asking to do. And then I also have a really solid foundation of resourcing myself. And that basically means going through and meditating, doing my yoga, going to exercise, spending time in nature. So I have a plethora of things that I have experimented with, I'm still experimenting with. And in my mind, it's not about making this decision to change my whole self every single day. It's about experimenting and seeing what feels good and what works for me. And I think that having that mentality of like, okay, like I'm going to get up every day at 6 a.m. and go to the gym, like that's going to wear off and it's not sustainable for me. But if I can wake up every day and think about what are the two most important things for me today, one of them probably being resourcing myself and what is that going to look like? So I have like a little menu, like a little spa menu, if you will, of these are the ways that I'm going to resource myself. Meaning, am I going to go in the jacuzzi? Am I going to go take a walk in nature? Am I just going to sit in silence and meditate? Those are all things that allows me to make different decisions on a day-to-day basis.
I love that. I love that. And I guess I've been doing some of that, not realizing it. Like, I love this word resourcing, because even this morning I got acupuncture because I just have a huge day of energy ahead of me. And I just needed to make sure that I was really pulling strength from within. So I appreciate you giving like context and names to that. Yeah. And I think it's a really great way to start the day rather than I have to. Really getting to the mindset of, okay, what are two things I'm going to throw my energy at, and how am I going to resource myself to do that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What do I need today? What does my soul need today?
What does my soul need today? So I love the work that you're doing. It's been highlighted in Spirituality and Health and CBS and other formats. And I just think your energy, I can tell you have such a beautiful energy. And I think you're really tackling questions that people are trying to understand. And the one I really like that you talk about is the emphasis of oneness, but also sort of the toggling nature of interconnectedness. So how do you kind of go about these two kind of different avenues to be on?
Yeah. You know, when I first heard that concept, I was like, oh no, like I am nothing like my sister. Because we're all focused on individuality, right? And the clothes that we wear and the way that we present ourselves, the words that we use, our accents, like all of that makes us different. And when I really started to kind of peel back the onion, kind of by accident, I started off with, I want to let go of my ego. I want to be the type of practitioner that shows up in wholeness and sees people for who they are without judgment. And that was really what I focused on. And the more and more I peeled back the ego and started to identify what was the ego and what was my soul, the more and more I aligned myself with my higher self, the more and more I felt connected to every single person and becoming one, not just with people, but, you know, I could tell by the way animals would react to me. They would get even closer and be more curious about my energy. I could feel like the essence of the trees, almost having conversations with the plants in my gardens and things like that. So that kind of magic started to really immerse when I started to sort of my ego started to kind of fall away. Now I'm still having a human experience. So not to say that my ego isn't still there. Of course, I still get triggered and I still have these moments of emotions that do trigger my ego. But the time of me noticing it and observing when it's coming in, I'm able to then be really mindful and just say, okay, the ego needs to sit over here and I need to really reconnect with my heart and come back to self-compassion and come back to self-love. Because when I'm able to do it for myself, I am then able to see it through other people.
I love that. I love that. And I feel like for many listening, it's not like a one and done. This has been, you know, this is an evolution of how you show up as a human. And you and most of us in general have been taught to live outside our bodies, to strive to get there, to get it done. And I think what we're talking about now is getting inside, tapping into what our soul wants, and realizing that we're connected to a bigger meaning, a bigger purpose. And when that really starts to shift, you're saying people are noticing, but animals are noticing, you're connecting with Mother Nature. I just think that's amazing. And honestly, Jazzy, I think that it's hard to do when you're living. I mean, you're a VP in blockchain. And then when you're not doing that, you're a practitioner. So how did this come about for you when you said by accident? Like, did you have a tower moment, like a tarot card, or did something kind of push you into this accident that gave you sort of the permission to cross over to this side?
Yeah, I kind of have two stories. So just to go back on the last one really quick, you know, it still happens for me. I had this moment last week where I had a visitor in my house and my husband was playing loud music in the morning. I was trying to have my cacao ceremony. I was telling stories and he was kind of interjecting. And I hadn't had a lot of sleep. I wasn't resourcing myself. And so I had this huge ego moment where I kind of was a little bit passive aggressive and I noticed myself immediately and then immediately apologized and said, you know what? I'm actually really overstimulated right now. And this is what's happening to me. And he was able to see that and we were able to get past it. And so that's part of like that, you know, continuous work that I'm doing, like noticing it right away and making that adjustment. At first, it's going to it's like you said, it takes some time and the observations might be few and far between, but the more and more you practice, the more and more you're able to catch it in the moment and then rectify and then say, okay, well, tomorrow we're really going to work on the self-care and rectifying that. And then to answer your recent question in regards to the terror moment, oh, heck yeah. I feel like everyone in this space has that, you know, something had to change, something had to give because we weren't listening to our intuition. We weren't listening to our inner selves. We were going through what we knew up to that moment, what worked, and then it wasn't working. And for me, it was, I had the biggest office in the building. I was running a team. I was working with a really, really successful company. And I was at the height of my career at the time, and it was just not sustainable because all I was doing was working. And I had fibromyalgia at the time, and I kept ignoring my body, ignoring myself. And one day I just had a massive meltdown. And it was so interesting because 2 weeks before that, one of my coworkers had walked into my office. And he had just gotten out of rehab. He went to a fancy rehab somewhere and said, you know, there was this treatment that I thought you would be really interested in. And at this point, I had never heard of Reiki. And he was describing the Reiki practice and how it was helping him heal to be a non-alcoholic person. And I'm just looking at him like, I don't know about that. That sounds really woo-woo, right? I didn't say that, but in my mind, I was like, no, I'm in therapy. I'm doing all the things that I could do. And after my meltdown 2 weeks later, I thought about that moment and I said, you know what? I'm willing to try anything at this point. I feel like a lot of the people that walk through my door, they're in that space. Like they've tried it all and they are now open to something different. And in that moment, when I went, I saw colors behind my eyes. I felt my intuition really turn on. I felt all of the stress and anxiety just pull out of my body, like melt away. It was one of the most lethargic and most spiritual experience I've ever had. And from then on, I started seeing that Reiki practitioner once every other week. And then 3 years later, I decided to become a practitioner myself, just for myself. And then I would offer it to friends and family. And then they were referring me. And sooner than later, that was kind of like the answer, like, oh, I can still, you know, do what I love in tech and also resource myself and bring this to the community and be able to have a true life balance within my schedule. And that's pretty much how it came to be.
That is beautiful. And I think it gives a great opportunity for people listening to know that, you know, it took 3 years. The message came through somebody else. The meltdowns happen. I have a very similar story that I write about in my recent book. And I feel like it's a tower moment oftentimes when the universe wants you to focus elsewhere. And I feel like so many of us think our life is, you know, blowing up, but in reality, it's opening up.
100%. Yes.
Well, as we're closing up here, is there any other work or insights that you want to share with the listeners?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of what we talked about today, the biggest foundational support that I ever found was understanding my boundaries and understanding what that meant, how to set them up, how to still be in love, compassion, and joy while doing it. Because for me, boundaries was, you know, a harsh thing. And it was like putting up a wall, but it really isn't. And I have some wonderful context, some wonderful verbiage that goes along with that. And so right now I'm doing a 10-week course. It's a live course. We're on week 6, but I will be bringing that back around in the new year. If you're interested in going to my website, www.krista-luna.com. You can sign up for my newsletter and we can be in touch when it starts again. I also have the recordings available. It takes 10 weeks. I can absolutely teach everything in 2 weeks. However, 10 weeks, because it takes about that much time to make a true change. And there's so much support. I offer one-on-one calls with the purchase of the recordings and or the live calls where you get coaching one-on-ones with me. And you get also a support call on Tuesdays where we all come and do our home play together.
I love that. I love that. And we'll include the links. So be sure to look below. We'll have the links for your website, your Instagram. So I really just want to thank you so much for joining us, for sharing your journey, and also the work that you're doing to help illuminate the path for others. So thank you so much, Jazzy.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap. See you again here and over at togetherweseek.online, where you can join live discussions with energy practitioners, healers, and spiritual leaders. See you there.